I'm Rich Egger, and this is Emphasis. Today's guest is Republican State Representative Noreen Hammond of Macomb. And I'd like to talk about the upcoming legislative session, but first let's take a quick look back at your first year in office. Your roadkill legislation overcame the governor's veto to become law. Can you explain the bill?
Certainly, Rich. The bill and actually the roadkill, quote unquote, came from our Legislative Research Bureau when they wrote the bill, put the bill together for me. The bill came to me from a retired conservation officer from Mason County who had, over the years, seen fur-bearing mammals that were left dead on the side of the road or were unintentionally hit and left on the side of the road. And IDOT and Department of Natural Resources did not have the finances to pick them up. But many of the fur traders that would be buying those pelts were hesitant to do so because it was illegal to pick them up in the state of Illinois prior to this legislation. So it had very good intentions. I think that going forward, it'll be helpful for a lot of folks. There are folks that do it for sport. There are some that do it actually for a source of income. And the governor had concerns that there was safety concerns involved, but ultimately we've overcome that and we've moved forward, so we can put that one behind us now, I think.
When does it become law, or did it become law upon passage in the veto session?
It did. It became law, and so it is currently in effect, and Associated Press has picked it up, and they are getting a lot of positive feedback from it, so I'm very encouraged by that.
And this is your bill. I mean, this isn't something you just co-signed on or
no.
This is something you wrote, and is it your first piece of last year was your first year in the legislature. Was this your first piece of legislation to pass?
I had a couple of bills, and as luck would have it, if you will, as it moved through the legislative process, this was the first bill of mine that came out. So, yes, it was my first bill.
Any other highlights from your first year in office?
It was a very interesting and a very challenging year. As you well know, I started during the lame duck session, so we had a number of issues that we dealt with there, and then moving forward into this year. I was encouraged this year with our budget negotiations and certainly the way our colleagues in the House, and I can speak specifically of that, since I am in the House, working together on both sides of the aisle to come to a budget that we ultimately ended up with. And I was encouraged that we worked together, not as Republicans or Democrats, but as a body to try to craft something that was good for the state.
And that's interesting to hear because I sort of get the impression that House Speaker Michael Madigan pretty much dictates what happens in that chamber. But you feel both parties work together.
This year was different, I believe, than in years past. And the reality was that Speaker Madigan and Leader Cross came together to many of our appropriations committees and spoke and worked with us as a team.
The new legislative session, normally I think you'd already be in Springfield most years. By this time of the month, you'd be in session, but you're getting a later start this year.
We are. I think there's probably a number of reasons for that, this being a redistricting year and the controversy over whether or not the map was constitutional. I think that perhaps Speaker Madigan built in a little extra time to get that resolved and put behind us before we went into session.
And that's when? Monday the 30th.
Mm-hmm.
You're back in Springfield.
Right.
Let's focus a little bit on the year ahead. First, specifically with your district, what would you like to accomplish in this coming year?
I think that not just for my district, but certainly for the state of Illinois, in light of the fact that Moody's has lowered our credit rating just in this past week, and Standard & Poor's has us on a watch list, and Fitch's has not lowered us, but they have us in a negative rating. They are all looking very closely at Illinois and the Illinois budget and our pensions and what we're going to do. We have a backlog of bills. They have warned that they do not believe that the way to tackle that backlog of bills is to borrow more money. So I think going forward into this year, we have some real challenges. And for my district specifically, I have a very diverse district in so far as I have a university community that I represent. I have community colleges that I represent, private colleges, and also an agriculture community and a business community. So whatever actions I take, it has to be in consideration of all of those entities.
What are you hearing from those entities? Do you hear the same message, pay us the money you owe us? Or
I hear some of that, but most of the entities that we owe money to fully understand what we have done in the past, borrowing billions of dollars and paying billions in interest, that they know that if they get that immediate gratification, that going forward, 6, 8, 12 months from now, we're going to be in the exact same shape we're in now. We have to address this by making cuts. And we started that process this past legislative session. We have a long way to go, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to have to hurt.
So where would you suggest cuts be made?
I believe that in all of our appropriations committees, there are cuts that we did not tackle this year that we can tackle going forward. I think one of the biggest areas that we have to tackle is in our Medicaid. We made a number of cuts last year to our Medicaid. However, when that went on to the federal government for approval, they denied us many of the cuts that we had made. So we need to, first and foremost, work with the federal government to try to get a better understanding of what can and cannot be done. And I think that that's the first place that we have to start. And then we have to look individually, as we did this year, and make cuts to many of our appropriations committees that we were hesitant to make this year. And I'm hopeful, I am very hopeful, in light of what the credit rating agencies have said and the message they've sent, that there will be even more willingness, not only among my colleagues to make those hard choices, but also with our residents, our citizens of Illinois, that have said, you know, it's time. It's time, and here's what we're willing to do, and that's what it's going to take.
What are you willing to do besides Medicaid? Where would you make cuts?
I think that some of the other areas that we could make cuts is there are some of our human service programs that are redundant, if you will. We have to be very careful that we don't decimate programs. But I think that there are areas in our state government where we have an agency that overlooks a program and then another agency that overlooks that agency overlooking the program. Central Management Services, it is a huge, huge agency, and that's one that we could look at and say, okay, how much of that is redundant and how much don't we need? And yet we can maintain our programs going forward. I think the other thing that we can do is to better simplify our licensing programs and our permitting process in the state of Illinois. We have so many agencies that are engaged in permitting that if we can begin to centralize our programs, I think that going forward, that is going to certainly benefit us and be a lot more cost-effective than what we're doing now.
It's my understanding some of the biggest companies in the state don't pay the full corporate income tax rate. If they were, the state deficit would not be as large as it is. Why are the big companies not being asked to share in some of this sacrifice?
It's interesting. I was at a conference a number of months ago in Indianapolis, and there were five economists that were speaking about how we bring jobs back to not only the U.S., but certainly in our respect for the state of Illinois. And the first gentleman that spoke said, the one thing you don't want to do is what the state of Illinois has done, and that is to raise the corporate income tax and then pick and choose who's going to pay it. I was mortified. My hand went over my badge so they couldn't see that I was from Illinois. I was seated in a room with probably 700 folks from all across the U.S. We started a pattern. When I say we, the administration started a pattern when we passed the corporate income tax that all of a sudden there were some of these companies were up in arms, and then it was, no, okay, you don't have to pay and you don't have to pay. Ultimately, what we as a state need to do is determine how much of that business is done in the state of Illinois, those sales are done in the state of Illinois, and tax them according to that. To tax a corporation that is cited in the state of Illinois, but much of their business is either done overseas or in other states, is a very rocky road, because oftentimes those corporations are nothing more than an address, and that address can ultimately be Iowa or Indiana or Wisconsin. So we want to be careful that we don't chase businesses out of the state of Illinois. And looking at a fair tax rate for all corporations, because it isn't fair when you give tax breaks to large corporations, but your smaller businesses, they don't get those breaks because they don't have the clout. So we need to come up with some structure that is more fair across the board, in addition to looking at further reforms to our workers' comp.
What do you think of the idea of the pension reform task force announced by the governor this week?
I was encouraged because to date, I didn't really feel that the administration was willing to step up to the bat and work with the legislature on any pension reform at all. It is a very huge issue in the state of Illinois. It's a big part of why our credit rating continues to be downgraded, because we haven't addressed it. We also have to be very careful how we address it. To push forward on some kind of a pension reform, number one, that is strictly done by the legislature, and none of those pension folks, if you will, the representatives from those five pensions are seated at the table with us, is not going to be helpful. That's not going to do it. So we have to have 100% participation from everybody. And ultimately, whatever is done, we have to be sure that it's going to pass any legal challenges. It makes no sense to me to forge ahead with pension reform and then have it tied up in the courts for years and years and spend millions of dollars. That is counterproductive.
Noreen Hammond is the state representative from Macomb. We're out of time for today. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rich.
For Tri-State's Public Radio News, I'm Rich Egger.